Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Leona Brando, New Vision Organization, and we are on Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. We are going to be discussing today, can life without parole or death sentences really be the answer to healing? Can life without parole or death sentences really be the answer to healing? More pain to an already painful situation? If I go along with the multitude to do more evil against another soul as vengeance, what does that make me? What does that make you? In this episode, we will be discussing the harshest penalties for crimes and the incarcerated population who were under the age of 25 years when they committed their first and only offense, have served 20 years or more of their life sentences thus far, and who were never previously involved with the law prior to their first and only offense. Do we have the right to pass that kind of sentence on to another individual? If so, does that make us any less violent than the offenders who committed their first and only offense? Stay tuned and join us in this upcoming discussion. Taking a life in any manner, especially without knowing all the factual details, puts us all in the same category of an offender. Think about it. Inflicting more pain on an offender is not reforming or healing anyone. It is pure vengeance on individuals many of us do not even know. We don't know who or what caused their downfall, but we do know that many of us do not know either the offender or the victim. So we need to remain neutral until or unless we have all the facts, and even then, it is not really our business to be judgmental or take it upon ourselves to take vengeance as we see so much of it going on in the penal system with the criminal mentality demonstrated by even the employees of the penal system who provoke, harass, deprive, and abuse just because they know they can get away with it. People in society are being misled, and that in itself is a tragedy. Pain is everywhere, and it's time for healing. Now, we have a special guest on with us today. Her name is Minister Elfrida Chi Maso. She is a writer of poetry and knowledge of the pain so many individuals in the world are facing today. She herself has traveled quite a distance around the world, and I'd like for her to be able to tell us a little bit about herself and for you all to hear what she has to offer. Minister Chi, are you on with us? Minister Chi? She was on a few minutes ago. Let's see if we can bring her back in. Okay, I know she's on 202. There seems to be a delay here. Let me just call her. Something has gone wrong here. Okay, perhaps she's going to be calling in again. Chat is host. Seems to be a problem with the show itself. Okay, let's try calling her now. Okay. Okay, let's see if we can bring her back on again.
Minister Chi, what happened? Hold on a second.
Okay. Okay, she, I believe, is back on with us now. Are you there, Minister Chi?
I am. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay.
Okay. Would you like to speak a little bit about yourself and let the audience know the traveling that you have done and some of the things that you have done? And I'd like to also ask if you would be willing to recite one of your poetry, especially on pain.
Of course, of course. Well, I have been a child of the king for a long time. I've traveled, as you said, around the world through my ministry. I started as a lay person, and then I was ordained the church. Well, first of all, I'm in Washington, D.C., I belong to the Washington Family Church. I've gone to many churches. I've been a part of many, many churches, but I'm now a part of the Unification Church, who have allowed me to travel around the world to many, many, many countries. I traveled so much for like 12 years that I was tired of carrying my own luggage. But anyway, I was able to come back home after traveling to Nigeria and decided to come back and open my own business. So I started the African Women Networking Group in Tacoma Park, Maryland, which taught me so many things. Well, first of all, living in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where I grew up, I learned a lot of things, which actually started me in ministry. And it was there that I developed cleaning and helping, and just being the type of person that God wanted me to be. I didn't know other people had to say, you know, you do all this work, you're a minister. So I decided to, as a minister, and I think it was 1992. But I praise God for all of the things that I have been allowed to do. But during the time when I was young, I started doing poetry. And I stopped for a while, and I began back in 2003. And I came up with a poem, and I have several on pain. And the first one that I want to recite is called, did you want me to start?
You must have seen a lot of pain in your travels and with individuals throughout the world. There is so much pain out there. If you could read one of your poetry, one of your poems on pain, I'd like to have the audience listen to it. I know that you did recite one to me.
Right. This is the one that's called PPP, Press Past the Pain. And it starts like this, get out of spirit's way. And it's through the Naomi story in Ruth 1 in the King James Version. And it says, what is pain's function? I have been sent down to bring the truth up. Pain has come to teach me something. Get out of spirit's way. Look at the pain, the storms in your life, and know that spirit will bring you a message when you stop holding back. Stop withholding your love. And love pain healthy, love pain whole. You need to understand what your role is when pain comes around you. Your role is not to get into the emotion of pain, but rather to understand what lesson pain has for you to learn in order for you to move to the next level in your journey of life. Pain is to bring life forward, and until you learn each lesson, you can't move forward. And until you handle it with grace, it's going to stay in your face. When wisdom comes and you are not ready for the change, you will be destroyed. Handle it with grace, it's going to stay in your face. Praise God.
Amen. And that's one of the poems I really liked because the thing is, with all the pain that's going on in the world today, as you say, it brings wisdom. And it's a painful thing to have to go through anything, any tragedy, any trauma. There's so many people in the world today that they don't understand that pain is inflicted upon not only offenders, but also victims. It's not only in families with the parents, it's with the children. It's with strangers. We live in a world today, there's so much hatred, there's so much racism, and people don't realize that we all, when we go through pain, the pain is no different from another individual. The pain affects everyone. It's the same kind of pain, the same kind of hurtfulness. And in the world today, if people would take that pain that they have gone through and use it positively, like you have traveled, you've seen so much of it, and you did something with that knowledge and with that pain. You started helping others, and you started writing about it so that people can hear your poetry. They can feel the pain. They can know that these are the things that not only others are going through, not only they are going through, but others as well. Now, do you have another poem that you want to share with us?
Yes. Years ago, in 2003 again, I was so tired of people not saying two things. And I came up with a poem because God said, put it in a poem. And it says, to say thank you, a forgotten phrase. And it goes like this. For the thing someone else has done for you, thank you. For a kind word, thought, or deed, thank you. For opening your door, your time, your energy, yourself, thank you. Other end of the phone, for having a kind or strong word, thank you. For planting a seed, then nurturing it, to a developing growth, then loving it, until it gives back thanks and praise. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And the beat goes on and on and on. For your fellowship, for your love, for helping me pay my bills, for assisting you when you needed a job, for fighting for your rights, for your idea that I took credit for. And the beat goes on and on and on. And that was to say thank you to all the things. And thank you so much, sister, for allowing me to share the poems that God has used me as an instrument to share with others.
And it means so much. And there's so much to poetry. When people do the poetry, it comes from the heart. And I had written some poetry myself one time. And there's one, it's quite long, so I won't read the whole thing. But it was, Where Were You Then? When I was feeling lost and alone, and this is the way a lot of prisoners, I'm sure, feel.
Mm-hmm.
When I was feeling lost and alone and so far from my home, full of pain and so helpless, with no one to phone, where were you then? You had said I relate to all that you feel, the hurt, anger, confusion, but what's the big deal? You did not hear what my heart cried to say.
Mm.
Have you ever not... Wait a minute, let me just see something here. I'm trying to keep this going at the same time. You did not hear what my heart cried to say. Please, my friend, listen, I pray. Have you never been hurt? Does your heart not bleed? Is your life that fulfilled that you have no other needs? I was raped as a child, beaten, deceived, emotionally battered, evil thoughts then conceived. Where were you then? Though resilient through life, trying to do so good, making achievements whenever I could, where were you then? Where were you when I cried as a child, fatherless, siblingless, you thought this was mild. On Father's Day at football games when I was alone, you were with loved ones on the field or at home. Where were you then when I needed support, all of your righteous with such good rapport, hurt, pain, and loneliness throughout my teen years, into my 20s, still nightmares and tears. Unable to cope, I achieved all I could. The final straw broke. But now they say I'm no good. I am caged behind bars in an 8x10 cell. Still more nightmares, worse than hell. Will I ever find happiness? Will I ever be free? Can you ever forgive? Try to understand me. Please take a moment to listen and hear. At the time of my crime, I was full of fear. And that's only half of it. But there are so many. And poetry speaks from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Poetry comes from people that have traveled, people that have seen it, people that have felt it, and it's just sad that people in the world do not understand what pain is really about. There's too much vengeance out there. And I really, when I hear your poetry, I really relate to it, and I really think that others need to hear more of that because it makes a difference. as they said, in this world today, there's so much violence going on. There's so much vengeance. People, rather than to be in unity, to be unified in bringing about peace and love and compassion and understanding, mercy and forgiveness, people, a lot of people are more out there to try to do more division, to try to cause more havoc. And it's sad because there's a lot of pain that's coming about that doesn't need to be because of the way people are thinking, the way people are feeling. And we live in a world today where governments around the world who should be trying to unify, trying to become allies, trying to work together to improve the world, it's about vengeance, it's about hatred, it's about everything that brings about the pain that you discussed when you read that poetry. And I really enjoy reading your poetry. I really enjoy hearing it.
Right.
You have traveled. You have seen a lot.
I have. I'd like to do two more poems, one thing, if I can.
Yes. Yes.
This one is really short. It's two P's. Pain is bringing forth power. Do not resist.
Yes.
Let God finish his perfect work in you. Your dross is running off. So keep a level head, stay positive, because everything in your life experience is pushing you to your destiny. Last one on pain, it reads, pain must be read. What is your pain telling you? When to stop? When to go? Did you not understand the call? Would you like some more pain? I can't hear you. We'll be back again. Maybe we should use the small, still voice now. Pain is here to make you grow. Pain, what are you here for? You got the pain because you weren't doing something. Pain has come to teach you something. So you've decided to go around that merry-go-round again? Smack upside your head. Did you hear that? Pain has come to take you to your next journey in your life. Look at the pain, learn your lesson, and move on to the next painful place. Pain has come to teach you something.
Amen. That is awesome. That is awesome. I know pain is it's tragedy, like I say, with everybody, anyone who's going through pain. But it's all part of wisdom. It's all part of, I tell young people today,
healing.
Yes, there's a difference between wise, to me, a difference between being wise and having wisdom, because a lot of young people today, they don't act wisely, and we as older people that have experienced it, that have seen it, that have traveled and witnessed it for ourselves, that's wisdom that we have gained, and we try to share that wisdom to the wise and to the unwise. I just feel like sometimes it's so painful thinking about it. Because so many people have lost their lives, there's been stumbling blocks put out there before others that are trying so hard to do the right things in life. And those stumbling blocks is what causes pain to the person that responds to that. And it also causes pain to the person that it affects as a result of those stumbling blocks. But pain is so important for people to know that pain comes from all kinds of affliction and persecutions. It comes from all kinds of events that happen in our lives, but again, it's to bring wisdom. And as you say, it's something that can't be avoided. It can't be avoided.
True.
So how did you actually start to write about the pain in your poetry? I mean, to actually bring it about like that.
Actually, I was in different situations at the time. I think I was going through a divorce, and I was traveling, and actually the traveling helped me to heal, but it was also to put down in words what I was feeling, and that's what made me heal. Actually, traveling did. I didn't have time to think about myself and the situation and things I was going through, and it just came out. I just had to express myself in writing, which I've done, and I thank God for it.
And that's what happens. It is a healing. Writing is a way to get pain out of your heart. Traveling is a way to find comfort because you see so much worse, so many people worse off than yourself. And sometimes even in this country, people are so focused on their own pain that they fail to see the pain of those around them. And unfortunately, it's sad because that will strengthen them if they were to look at those around them who are less fortunate.
That is so true.
Just so much.
Well, fortunately, I was able to go to different countries and help. So I did see a lot of pain, but it was a lot of wonderful things, too. I saw the beauty in going outside of the United States and seeing the beauty in other countries. So I'm grateful for all those opportunities as well, which gave me the information to do what I do through poetry. And I thank you so much, sister, for giving me that opportunity today.
I really relate to when I traveled. I remember even being in the villages. I remember coming home. I used to take bucket showers. I remember flying home to the United States, and I came home. I took a 2-hour shower. I mean, it was so. I felt like I was back in a blessed country, but I wasn't back for a few months before I realized this country may be blessed, but this country is not appreciative of what God has given. Because even though I was in countries that were much poorer, that had so much poverty, so much sadness, they always had a smile on their face. They were always hospitable, regardless of what we hear in this country about other countries. Mm-hmm. Other countries are so much more hospitable. What little things that happen in their lives that is good, they take that and they grab on, hold on to it. Here, we are in this country, and I hadn't been back for 3 months before it all started. I could see the hatred out there. I could see the greed, the power, all this. It's even to this day, it's all about money. This country is all about money. They don't realize how precious family is. They don't realize how precious it is to be able to have support from others, to be able to have that love and compassion. Rather, what they do is they take that blessing that they have and they put it in the back burner, and they find every way to bring down other people, to bring down others who are less fortunate, instead of trying to help those people. And it's sad because, as we say, this is what's lacking in this country. And around the world, too, the governments in other worlds, they're depriving their own citizens the things that they could benefit from. I just sent a package out to Ghana, and the brother that was to pick it up was so sad. He was so upset because the government wanted to tax him even more. So the things that I had sent to him and his family, which would have been very helpful to them because they don't have the money, the government is making them pay even more to get it. So this is why we can't even help one another in those areas. But again, getting back to the people of this country, getting back to the healing that needs to take place, getting back to those in prisons who are in for wrongful convictions, who are in for the first-time offenses, regardless of what or how serious it was. It's all a lot of this pain and sorrow and suffering going on in the prisons is brought upon by others as well as themselves. We have an epidemic again in this country, as I keep saying, of mental illnesses, of addictions, and rather than to open these long-term residential facilities to treat these people, they throw them in prisons and they make them worse. People in the communities, they turn against these people without even trying to understand what happened to them, what went on with them. And the harshest sentences are being given, the death sentence or life without parole. This is taking away from any good that they may be able to provide to others through their own experience, through their own pain, through their own wisdom obtained from that pain. And it's not given to them. And instead, they're being put into prison. They're being put to death. They're being forever put behind cages like animals. And that pain is still existing.
Exactly.
It's still existing.
Now, I'm a part of the Places of Worship Advisory Board. And we're with the Department of Health in Washington, D.C. So we have mental health counselors and many different health advocates there. that are helping folks in Washington, D.C. So I'll be happy to share with you later on information that can help others, and we're having different events that's coming up in the community all dealing with health. Our goal is to get into all the churches and start a health ministry so that the information on health will go to all the members of the church and the community as well. Like,
and these
should.
Are the things that, sadly, these are the things that are needed in the prisons. And unfortunately, there's not any accountability in the Department of Corrections in around the world, around the country. And if there were, if more, like you say, you have programs out there, you have treatment programs, mental health treatment programs. Why can't
mm-hmm.
facilities be open like that? Why can't people be put into these facilities instead of thrown into prison and thrown the key away? Because that's what's needed. Mental health facilities, you know, psychological states of mind,
mm-hmm.
being in the prisons
mm-hmm.
is not helping. Then you have these
mm-hmm.
providers that are going in. They're providers of the Department of Corrections. But once they go in, they become pretty much employees of the department. So that healing
right.
is not being done. They're going along with
not,
whatever they're being told with diagnosis,
exactly.
with treatment, whatever. And
exactly.
and the programs yep. that you're mentioning,
mm-hmm.
we could, if you could actually give information like that to the audience so that anyone that's having any kind of difficulty, you know, depression or whatever, can contact these facilities, these places that you speak of, these mental health facilities.
Right. In Washington, D.C., we're at the Department of Health, 899 North Capitol Street, Northeast, and we meet the second Friday of every month from 11 to 1. All of the ministers, all the faith leaders that are a part of this in all 8 wards in D.C. have started ministries in their church and in the community to help everyone. So we're trying to get the information out, and anybody can come to the Department of Health. We meet on the fourth floor at the Department of Health, 899 North Capitol Street. But you can go there anytime. And you can see Regina Jefferson, who's in charge of the Places of Worship Advisory Board project. We're welcome anybody, everybody. Come on by. Anytime,
okay.
not
and,
just when we have our meeting.
And Minister Chi, I'd like to, at a later time, I say this to everyone because we do have just a half-hour show, but I'd like to have you come back at another time maybe and give us an update on anything that's going on with you. If you could at some point in time. Okay, I'm going
Certainly.
To be, hopefully within the next 4 to 6 weeks, I'm going to be asking if you can come back at some point in time because, again, we need to have healing for the people. We have to have healing
exactly.
for people in the
mm-hmm.
communities, in the prisons, in the homes, in the homeless
mm-hmm.
shelters, wherever it may be. There is too much pain out there. And it's time
exactly.
now that we start coming together to find ways to stop the pain and to start healing. So I thank you for being on with us, and I do hope that you will
no
be
problem.
On with us again, and we'll be in
thank
touch.
You so
thank
much.
You so much,
thank
Minister
you, Chi. Thank you, thank you. All right,
and
God bless.
Our audience, and I want the audience to know that we will be holding these things from time to time. If anyone wants to get involved, we will have Minister Chi on again and get her information, and hopefully we can all start doing national work in unity to bring healing, to stop the pain that's going on throughout the country and the world. It is time now that we come together, especially in the world we're living in now, with the divided government, with the divided nation, and with the divided world. So I thank you all for being with us today, and I thank you, Minister Chi, once again, and I really
You're
appreciated
welcome.
The information you have given us. Thank you, and we will be signing off now. Thank you, everyone,
okay.
for listening in, and peace and blessings to all of you.
Peace and blessings to you.